It's not one of the Dalet Parshios. It's the regular Shabbos, and the reason why it's called Shabbos HaGadol is because of the Haftarah. Special Haftarah. We lay in a special Haftarah, it's called Shabbos HaGadol. You have the Shabbos HaGadol Drosha. And believe it or not, in the Siddur, there's a Yoitzer. Not even people even know there's a Yoitzer for Shabbos HaGadol, because on Shabbos HaGadol, we don't have any special. We don't have a second Sefer Torah now. In fact, what I really want to go do is, I want to do this very interesting poem. It's at the end. It's, I'm not going to be able to do the entire thing, but it's really, really fascinating. And a lot of the Farshim, they quote from this. Kedai once in our lives to see what it says over here, just a little bit. At the end of the Yoitzreis of Shabbos HaGadol, there is, I read what it says in Art Scroll. The following is a poetic summary of the laws of Chametz, Matzah, and the Seder. Though it is authoritative, not all of its points are accepted by the Halacha. So again, the place you can find this is in a Siddur, in a regular Siddur, it should have in the back the Yoitzreis for Shabbos HaGadol. And at the very end of the Yoitzreis for Shabbos HaGadol, there is a poem. It's a very long poem. There's no way we're going to do the whole thing now, not even part of it. It's very, very long. But I want to see a little bit what it says over here in this poem. Okay, so we're going to wait for Blazer to come back. You okay with that? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam shehakol nehyeh bedvaroi.
Who wrote the poem?
It doesn't say. It does not say. I think it's a mystery who wrote this poem. Is there an acrostic here in the poem? Let me see if we have an acrostic. There's no acrostic either. It's amazing who wrote this poem. Okay, so let's begin. I want to wait for Blazer. What happened to our Blazer? Blazer stepped out. Mayor, you still here? I bored you already? Let's learn the poem. Elokei Horuchos L'chol Basar Choyk La'amo Mosar. The God of all. Again, it'll be very, very kedai if you have a sitter. It's very interesting and it's very unique. And it's quote a lot. All of the Farshim, they somehow, everyone quotes different sections of this poem because it mentions a lot of halacha. And it becomes a bit controversial because not everything that it says here do we accept to be the normative halacha. So it begins with the following. Elokei HaRuchos, the God of spirits, the whole basar, choyk la'amo mosar, he gave over a law. The Siram B'Chsav Musar. By the way, anyone listening, there's not going to be a shir over Pesach. Over the festival, there's no shir at night. Okay, we're not going to have a shir. Well, there's not no gay. It's only no gay Thursday. Next Thursday night, there's not going to be a shir next Thursday night. All the days, Monday, Sunday anyway. Monday and Tuesday, there's no shir anyway because Yom Tov. Okay, and Wednesday also. It's Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. So the next time there's a shir would be Thursday. We're not going to have a shir next Thursday. And then it's going to be Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So the next time will probably be Wednesday night. It's going to be a long time until we have a next shir. Okay, Ablaze, I'm doing over here this piyut. It's in the back of the Yoitzreis. At the very, very end, it's a very fascinating piyut. Here we go. Okay, Ruchos Golbasar. Chayk li'alangir Ablaze, there's no shir until the next Wednesday. Okay. He gave over a law. This Hiram b'chsav musar, and Hashem commanded us in writing, b'chsav musar, in a writing of rebuke, in a ksav or chastisement. Musar means what's a good word for rebuke? Livdaik chametz or le'arba osar, to be boydek the chametz on the night of the 14th. Bisha'ah, at the time, She'ein b'nei adam mitsuyim bishuka. Whoa, what is that about? This sounds like Hanukkah. What's this all about? When is the appropriate time? There's a lot of incredible secrets, mysteries in this little piyut. It's like, you know, little Sefer Hasidim. It's almost like an historical record. It's telling you things. A lot of these piyutim, they record ideas you're not going to find anywhere else. And many times it's very, very hard to even trace the source. This piyut was written probably in the, I don't know when, in the medieval times. It's probably written in the time of the Rishonim. And they're saying things that we never heard of before. Where did the Mechaber get the source for this? He writes a very bizarre thing. You do it on the night of Orlab Osar, and he adds in something, doesn't say, you know why? You know why you do it at night? Because no one's in the streets. Everyone is home. So everyone, I guess, will participate. Really? I thought the reason why you do the Bedikah at night is because the or, the candlelight, is a very great enhancement for searching. If you search during the day, by sunlight, you don't see so well because either the sun is too strong or it's not strong enough. At night, you have a candle, you have a flashlight. Oh, the Or HaNer, it's beneficial to find chametz when you have an Or HaNer. He says, what are you talking about? You know why you do the bedikah at night with candles? It's because everyone is home. The whole family is home. They'll help you. You don't have to go work so hard. Let everyone do all, let everyone else do the hard work. B'shah, she'ein b'nei adam mitzuyim b'shukah. No one is found in the street. The Or HaNer, then he says the second reason is because the Or HaNer is Yofa L'Bedika. Next, Ein Boidkim Lo L'Or HaChamav Lo L'Or HaLavonav Lo L'Or HaAvuku. You're not going to be Boidik not by the light of the sun, not by the light of the Lavana, V'Lo L'Or HaAvuku, a torch. You're not going to go use a torch because it's dangerous. You're not going to do it's, you're not, it's, it could be a fire chas or something, or you're not going to be able to want to search because it's going to be dangerous. V'Tzarech L'Varech. Al biur chametz kechukah, you have to make the bracha biur chametz according to the law. Okay, that was easy. That part was very easy. Gomar minatre ad debasra. Upon completion, one after you finish it, gomar. When you finish the bedika, minatre, guard the chametz that you found, including the 10 pieces, ad debasra. Until the next day, umiyad, and immediately tsarich levatel hashar ba'amira, and right after you finish the bedika, put away the chametz in the proper location so it should not get lost, and right away say kol chamira, v'leim ahachi kol chamira deika bahada dira, any chametz leaven that there is in this house delo chamite. Udala viarte, which I did not, the classic translation, which I did not see and did not remove. The word chamite means to see. Udala viarte did not remove libatel, it should be nullified. Vilaheve kaafra. The e mishtakach laachar oiso sha'a. Einoi chaye bibal yeroy uval yimotse lefosha. So that if I find chametz during Pesach, I should not be in violation of the lo saseh of Baal Yeroy, Baal Yemotze. You're not allowed to have in your possession on Pesach chametz. It cannot be seen and cannot be found. When you nullify any chametz, if you then find, the reason why you do the nullification, because just in case later you find chametz in your home on Pesach, you're not in violation because it's not mine. The Torah only says that you're not allowed to have in your possession chametz that you own. I don't own this. I was mafkert. The e mishtakach, because if next line, the next paragraph, the e. All right, I'm sorry. Let's read the e. Notice that it goes according to the letter of the aleph base. Okay, you notice that this is a very beautiful poem. It's very simple. The word's very simple, and it's going according to the letters of the aleph base, and it's telling you halachas. The e mishtakach of the letter dalet. The letter dal. The e mishtakach lachar oisa shah. If you want to eat chametz after the bedika for dinner or tomorrow morning for breakfast to satisfy yourself, whatever you leave over, the leftovers from your dinner and from your chametz tikkah breakfast, you shall put away bitzina in a private location so that the crumbs and the leftovers should not scatter and get lost. Then it goes on to say, letter Hey, Hecha divdak b'chorei beisa. When you made an inspection in the choyre, in the corners, in the holes of your home, v'hiniach arba oichamesh rifta, and you leave over four or five pieces of bread, v'ashkach t'chod d'minayu pachaso. He's telling you that what happens if you go and you put out 10 pieces and you only find 9 pieces. Now notice over here in this ancient Pete, it doesn't say 10. It is, let's say you went and you put out, you made an inspection and you found, and you put out, I guess for the bedikah, 4 or 5 pieces. And now when you go do the bedikah, you can't find all the pieces. You're missing one piece. The ashkach t'chod d'minayu pachaso, someone is missing. Guess what? Live doig me resha, shema chuldo liko chato. Do the bedikah all over again. Because maybe a rodent took one of your pieces and ran around with it. And maybe it's been relocated to a new location. And so did we learn in the Mishnah, the chare vesa unikikin, that the holes of the house and all of the clefts, ilo e vitato e, Einam nivdakin. Now he's telling you new halacha. This is the Gemara, that when you make an inspection, what do you have to inspect? The top ones and the bottom ones do not need to be inspected, but the emtsoim zikukin are required. In other words, you only have to check in locations where there's a possibility you put chametz. If you have a wall and you have cubbies in the wall, generally people do not put chametz in the upper cubbies, because you can't reach there. It's too high to reach. You need to get up on a ladder to go find something there. So generally, people are not going to put chametz in the upper cubbies. And likewise, people do not put food in the lower cubbies. Where do you put the food? In the middle cubbies. So you only have to go do a bedikah in places where there's a realistic possibility that chametz was stored. We're up to letter Zayin. Ziharu gag hayotzia v'gag Migdolin. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean over here? The Zion over here, the Gag Hayotzia. It means they cautioned. The rabbis cautioned that the roof of the Yotzia is an extension. Yotzia means like an extension from your house, and the Gag Migdolin, the roof of a tower of some type of a Gag. It means like some type of a, like a, some type of a. Extension on your house, or like a tower, a garage, verefes bakar, and a barn, a cattle stall, umaspein vilulin. What is a maspein? A maspein is a storage of straw, and lulin are chicken coops. The oitzros yayin v'shemen hanu'ulin, livdek chametz b'li oilin. All of these locations do not require, you're not required, live the chametz b'li oilin. You should inspect for chametz, but you don't have to go and climb up and look in all the cracks and go make yourself crazy. He's saying over here, a chiddush lahalacha. He's saying these different extensions of your home, he's saying a chiddush, there are different types of bedika. I never heard such a thing like this before. Is that in your home, you have to check every corner, every nook, every little mashu. Check all the shelves and look in the corners and here and there. But when it comes to your garage, you don't have to go check all over. You just make a general sweep. You go inside, you look around, you don't see any chametz, go, done. You don't have to go and check the basement, the boiler room, the same way you check the kitchen. When you check the kitchen, you have to go and clean out every single nook and cranny for chametz. But in the basement, you don't. You just go down there, you go to the boiler room. What chametz are you going to find there? The plumber who left there a sandwich? Maybe. If he left his sandwich in the boiler room, when you walk in and you look at the boiler, you'll find it. If you don't see his sandwich lying on top of the boiler, it's very unlikely you're going to find it in a crack in the wall. So you don't have to go look in between the pipes. Okay, that's what he says. Incredible thing. Okay, now he goes up to letter Ches. Letter Ches. Let's say you have a neighbor. You have a two-family house, and you have a neighbor, and you share cubby space. There is a hole that goes from your house to his house. They had very thick walls, and if you put your hand in the hole, your hand will end up in his house on the other side. So how far do you have to check? Achor, shebein, odam, lechaveroi. You only have to check as far as your hand can reach. It's very bizarre. It sounds like the holes in between the walls were so thick. They were two arms length. It sounds a little strange to me. There's such thick walls. I don't know about that. But he says you only have to check until your arm reaches and the umavatil hasha'ara, whatever is left over there, you don't have to check. You just mevatil. V'chein, ben Yehudi l'v'oiv k'chavim, chayiv l'varo. Likewise, this is the Gemara. Do you have to make an inspection between if your next door neighbor is a goy? If you go and take the nair and inspect the hole in between that connects you to the next door neighbor who's a Gentile, and he sees that there's fire in the hole, in the cavity, he thinks you're practicing sorcery or some type of black magic, and he's going to get all very nervous. He's going to call the police, and you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So he says, no, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, take a risk. You have to go check even between you and the non-Jew. That's what it is over here. Palemoi Makel, this is a Gemara, he's the name of a Tana. Palemo, that was his name. Palemo, he was Mekal. He was lenient, and he held that you do not have to go check in the hole between you and a Gentile. Shema Yomer Hoiv Kochavim, Ki Shafoi Vachavaroi, that you're engaging in sorcery, vachavaro, and you're trying to cause him harm. Over here, they translate the word chavaro as an injure him. I don't know why it means that. Chabura, a chabura, is to cause to wound. Memela, the Tanakh, Palemo, is of the opinion that when you're going to do the bedika, it's going to go be a sakana because of the guy. You don't have to go do the bedika. Next. Toanu hamefaresh. Now, what's this next halacha? See, I just want to point out something very interesting about the sakana. Because there are two things, this is going on, I don't want to spend time, but there are two things, there are 36 chayvei kresos. In the Torah, there are 36 situations where a person is in violation of his chayv karis. 34 of them are lois sases. There are two examples in the Torah where it's a mitzvah sasei, and there's a chayv karis. And that is Karban Pesach and Bris Milah. Pesach and Bris Milah. By Bris Milah by nature is a sakana. The whole nature, it's a tremendous chiddush, because the Torah is very much in halacha. Anytime there's a sakana, you're exempt. You don't have to engage in a mitzvah if the mitzvah can lead to a sakana. And that's why when it comes to fasting, we're very lenient. Yet, there's an exception. The exception is Bris Milah. Because Bris Milah is a sakana. It's a sakana. The statistics are that people die. People die from Bris Milah. It happens. Rahman al-Itzlan. It's sakana. So if it's a sakana, why don't we say that since it can happen, that a child can die? In Baruch Hashem today, man world, you don't hear about it. Very, very, very rare to hear that a child died from Bris Milah. Extremely rare. Okay, they talk about herpes. They talk about other diseases, contagious diseases that can be transferred from the moil. You know, during COVID, do you ever hear during COVID that a moil died from Bris Milah? Or a baby died? Did you ever hear such a thing? I never heard. I don't know. Who knows? But generally, today, Baruch Hashem, due to modern medicine, we don't hear about it. But at the time of Chazal, babies died. It wasn't like so uncommon. Babies died. And if people died, so you can argue, don't do it. Sakana. No. Torah says do it. You have to go enter. That's part of the mitzvah. Part of the mitzvah, Bris Milah, is it's the only mitzvah, kemat, where you have to put yourself at risk. The Gemara says, Ki horagnu lecha kol hayom on Bris Milah. When you give over the baby to the moil, who says the baby, you'll get the baby back? Who knows? It's sakonis nefashis. Okay, Baruch Hashem today, modern medicine, there's a lot of antibiotics and all different medical things that they can do today. Rahman al-Sana case is a problem, but people died. And yet the Torah, you have to put yourself in sakana. So maybe you can argue, when it comes to Pesach is equivalent to Bris Milah, because it's a Chiv Karas, and Chometz is a Chelek of the Karban Pesach. You're not allowed to have in your possession Chometz when you bring the Karban Pesach. So maybe you can argue that when it comes to the mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz, if there's a Sakana, too bad, you have to do it anyway. Maybe the mitzvah is so important because they are compared. The Inyone Pesach are clearly related to the Inyanei Bris Milah. A father is not allowed to shech the Karban Pesach if he has a child that did not yet have a Bris Milah. And Bris Milah and Karban Pesach is Karis and Milah is Karis. And Chometz is a chelik of the whole, you know, it's part of the whole process of the Karban Pesach. So maybe you would argue, I want to go do Bedikas Chometz, and for me to do Bedikas Chometz, I have to go light a fire and go search the house. And I have a guy who lives next door, and the guy is going to get all worked up. What's going on over here? What's going on over here? I see over here this fire inside the house over here, in the middle of the night. What are you doing over here? This is witchcraft. And I'll call the police, give me a sakana. So maybe don't do it. Who's asking you to do it? Don't do the Bedika. Do the Bedika during the day when there's light outside. Don't do it at night. No. You're mechuyev to put your life at risk to a degree. That's the machloikis. That appears in machloikis. This is, I'm saying you a chiddush in hashkafa. In hashkafa between the chacham and plemo, are you mechuyev to risk your life to a degree to do bedikas chametz? By bris milah, you're mechuyev to risk, to go into risk. Maybe there's such a relationship between bris milah and bedikas chametz. Next, up to letter test. Let's say the Mefarish is a person's on a trip. I have tickets to go on a voyage. What does it mean the word Toanu? Toanu means. I lost the place over here. The sages debated and ruled that someone who goes the Toanu means they debated. Okay, there's a debate. He translates the word in the English over here. The word Toanu is that there was a debate. There was a discussion amongst the rabbis regarding a person, Hamifaresh. He's going, Vehayotse, Hamifaresh means he's going on a ship. Vehayotse Vish Yara. And he has no plans to come back. He has no plans to return home before Pesach. Toich shloishim yoim bohe levaer chamira. If he sets out within 30 days, he has an obligation to do a bidika. If he sets out within 30 days, let's say he leaves his home more than 30 days before Pesach, in other words, before Purim, he leaves his home to go to Eretz Yisrael, to go to another place, and he's not coming back to this location until after Pesach, then he has no chiv to do a bedika. You only have a chiv to do bedika if you leave your home within 30 days. Lifnei shloishim yom ein zakuk livara. Next, halacha yud. Yisrael dechametz ispakeid lei. The leise lemare lemishkele a Yisrael, which is storing the chametz of somebody else, of a non-Jew. The leise lemare lemishkele, and the owner is not present to take it. No, it doesn't say a guy, take it back, it doesn't say a guy. It just says over here, is that if I am guarding, if I have in my possession the chametz of another Jew, I'm watching it. And the other Jew is not to be found. I call him up, doesn't answer. I send an email, doesn't answer. I scream out in the street, where are you? He doesn't answer. And now it's Erev Pesach. What should I do? What should I do with this chametz? Natre, you shall watch it, ad arba, techoze le'ochle. Now what does that mean? You shall guard it. You shall hold it until the fourth hour. Oh, arba means until Erev Pesach, the fourth hour. Until the Zman Heter Achila. You're allowed to eat chametz until the end of the fourth hour. Okay, while it is still permitted, Erev Pesach, to eat chametz, you should continue to guard your neighbors, your friends' chametz. Maybe he'll answer the phone. He will come, he'll pick it up, or something will happen. Techoze lo'ochle, it's fit to eat. Shalim arba. Let's say the fourth hour has come. Let's say the fourth hour has come, the law also, and he did not come, l'nochri mazbin lei, sell the chametz to the guy, sell it. Next, chof, kishenof l'ma poiles al chametz da'arve b'sachim, v'chelev in yochol l'chapeis acharav bituchim, Let's say a building collapses, a wall collapses on chametz, and there's more than three tefachim, and a dog does not able, this, the rubble is so much that a dog is not able to smell, is not able to uncover it. And what's the word bituchim?
I understand why it's
here it says, and a dog, and until that, and until the depth, and until what depth can a dog uncover it? Until acharav. Okay, I don't know what the word bituchim means. Hareze mivor. It's as if it's destroyed. Lirayim pikhim. Two people. It's as if. It is as if, according to the pichim, oh, he says Lorraine pichim. It's very interesting. He calls the chachamim. Then the wise, comradely sages. What an expression! Woohoo! Wow, it's worth just for this. He's calling over here in the English translation. He's calling the rabbis. He's calling the rabbis. The reyim pichim. Never heard this my whole life. Aboim shana kud bedahar. Never heard such a nusach. Mary hears a nusach over here. That talmidei chachamim are called wise friends. Reim pikhim. So our kimavur, according to the Reim pikhim, according, and I mean, this is the art school's translation. I don't know if everyone agrees that this is the correct translation, but according to the Talmud, the Chacham of the Gemara, the friendly, wise people, it is their opinion that it's considered to be gone. And then in the Kamachap, what is the amount of rubble that you need in order for it to be hidden that even the door cannot sense it? Shaloisha tefachim. Next, limdu be milche uve kire nikuvim. And what does that mean? It means they taught. The word limdu means they taught. Who's they? The rabbis taught. That places known as salt storage, candle storage, date and wood storage must be searched. Limdu, they taught. Limdu means the rabbis taught. What did they teach? They taught. Bei milche, a salt storage facility. In a salt, where you keep the salt. Uvei kire. What is kire? Kire, what did I just say means? They taught candles, okay? Kire is candles. Nekuvim. Salt storage, candle storage. Okay, why is kirei nikuvim? Kirei is wax. Wax that is perforated. I guess it's you put a, I guess it means it's perforated so you can put a wick inside. Okay, is that a new term for a candle? A candle is a piece of wax that is a perforation so you can insert a wick. Uvei simorim vitzivim, a location where you store dates and wood. Tzivim means wood. You are obligated to search these places. You're obligated. But an open, wide area, you're exempt. Why? Because the birds, the ravens, they will come and they will take any chametz that it is. Let me make sure I'm translating this correctly. The ravens will eat the chametz. So therefore, you say over here that when it comes to these storage facilities, when it comes to these storage facilities. Certain storage facilities, you must do a bedika. Okay, like we said before, the garage, all these things over here also, salt, candles, storage, date storage, wood storage, live like a sam chayavim, but the chutz are an open, wide area, you do not need to do a bedika, because the birds frequent this area, and if they smell and they sense any chametz, they will descend and they'll do it for you. The birds will clean up the yard for you. They'll clean all the chametz, they'll leave you all the garbage. Now we go to letter Mem. If you find chametz on Yom Tov, what do? You take a utensil, you cover it up so you should not see it. Let's say you find any time of the year, you find on Shabbos, you find any time of the year, you find an object that belongs to, let's say food that belongs to Hegdish. So if you eat it, now Hegdish, what does Hegdish over here really mean? Hegdish over here means, maybe Hegdish over here means non-kosher. Let me see how the article translates it. But if Chametz belongs to the sanctuary, he translates it as belonging to the Beis HaMikdash. Hegdash means something that is designated. Okay, whatever. He's learning over here. I guess this must be a Mishnah or a Gemara. If you find Chametz on Pesach, you have to cover it. Because the whole year, you are accustomed to eating Chametz. But there are other things that if you find the whole year, you don't have to cover. For example, non-kosher. Because non-kosher, anyway, the whole year, you stay away from. So there's no nisoyin to eat the non-kosher. The only time you have an obligation to make a shmira and to cover it is when you are accustomed to eat it. So the whole year you eat chametz. Now it's Pesach. For 7-8 days, you don't eat chametz. You may forget yourself for one moment. You may come to eat it. So therefore, cover it. But if you find in your home something which is forbidden, off-limits the whole year round, and the example here, it must be a Gemara or Mishnah, is Hegdish. And if you eat from Hegdish, Chav Hanah, there's a chi of mi'ilah, you don't have to cover it, because this is something which anyway is off-limits the whole year round. Next, letter Nun. Nafe ufatile v'yoyra. What is this? Over here he translates an iron strainer. Okay? Ufatile, those days everything was iron. Steel is a new invention to man. They didn't have steel until steel was invented about 1,000 years ago and was not available to the common man until about four or five hundred years ago. All the knives in the Gemara, the Achalof, were iron. The one that invented, that insisted that we should start using steel knives for Shechita, we always talk about this, was the Baal Shem Tov. Now you learn the Gemara, you do a Bedika, you do Shehiya. Bizman Hazeh, it's not Shaykh Shehiya. Not shach. You go to the Schlachtois, a bird, a half a stroke, the bird's dead. An animal, the larger ones, it's 1.5. How is it shaykh to have a shehiyah and to have drosa? And what does the Gemara mean when the Gemara says you have to check the knife on all three sides? What three sides? We don't even know what a knife is. The knives in the Gemara were iron knives. They were iron. They were thick. They had three sides to the tip. And you had to go back and forth the whole day until you finally finished cutting the animal. So we hear when it says nafe, this is, everything here is being taken really probably from the Gemara. This piyut, nafe ufatile, is an iron strainer. The yoira, what is a yoira? A pot. I made a mistake. There are two different items here. There's nafe, it's a strainer, and ufatile is a basket. A strainer and a basket. I guess the basket made from iron was also like a sieve. The yoire, a pot. The ishtamesh buhu chamin chamira, which was used for hot chametz. Okay, so over here we're dealing with hagolis. Now going into the laws of hagola. Tsarich ligalinhu, to do hagola, to purge the absorptions with boiling hot water. The aniach begoy rabba zeira. Now, what does this mean? This is interesting. And one should build a clay border over its rim. Begoy rabba. Let's clarify what this means over here. No. By placing them, I'm sorry. The aniach begoy rabba zeira. Okay, it's very nice, very poetic. You put a small utensil in a boiling pot, in a larger boiling pot, the ze'era is the small utensil, you immerse it in a boiling hot pot that's larger, so the whole thing fits inside. Ularaba levad, let's say you have the big pot. How are you going to kasher the big pot? There is no bigger pot to insert the big pot. So what you do is, you take clay, okay, no one does this today, you take clay, and you put clay along the rim, the outer rim, you build up on the outside of the pot, you build up like a border on the outside from clay. You fill up the pot with water, so now the boiling hot water will overflow on the tip of the outside of the pot. So you'll get the rim. So the way you can be able to get the rim is you create some type of artificial rim on the top in order to do hagolah on the rim. Very interesting how a lot of things that come from this again. This pit again is a very, very important pit. A lot of the Bali Halacha, you know, the language, the words, and the ideas over here are very interesting. Ularav, very large pot, levad gidanpa, to make a rim. Ularas chaybinura, and then he writes over here and is to burn it with ruscha, fire, and cook it over a flame. Okay, ularas means take the pot, fill up to the very, very top, and it's going to boil. And when it boils, the heat's going to cause the water to bubble over. And by bubbling over, it's going to kasher the rim. Next, sakine di ishtamish bu b'chamir l'urvin, samach. Samach means knives that were used, buhu, chamira l'aruchin, at a meal. At chomet tikka meals, im evshel asoysin chadoshim heim mishubochim. He writes over there, nifla. Better don't use your chomet tikka knives. Use kosher l'pesach knives. V'ilo mag ilon b'royschin, v'ilon, if not, you don't have a choice, then you can do hagala with boiling hot water. With a kli rishon, hey mitzuch tzachin, and it should be done with a kli rishon. But if not, then maybe kashrut by boiling water and in a vessel. Once removed from the fire, become and a kli rishon. Mitzuch tzachin means they can be cleansed. The eitz parur magilin b'roischin and wood. A wood spoon, the word parur means a spoon, magilin b'roischin. So you can use, okay, then it's enough to use a kli rishon, not a kli sheni. You boil the water, and then you transfer, if you transfer the water from a kli, from the ikar kli to a kli rishon, the fire, the kli rishon itself, a kettle. You put a kettle on the range, and it's boiling hot water. The kettle is the kli rishon. If I then pour the water from the kettle into a cup, then it's a klisheni. So when you do hagola, you have to hagola, when you pour the boiling hot water over the metal utensil, you have to hagola from the kli rishon, from the original kli. And when it comes over to spoons, you do the zelbazach, magilim b'reis, and boiling hot water. One more paragraph, ayin. Indu agone ukitsiye dekunya ufachra. What does this mean? This means... They crowned us with this teaching. Indu, the rabbis put a crown. Agone ukitsiye. Agone means ukitsiye de kunda ufachara. Earthenware and glazed earthenware dishes. Okay, these are all different types of dishes. I don't know what they are exactly. Afagav de maflit luhu shapir. Even though one kosher them thoroughly. Even though they're very wide, earthenware utensils, there's no hagala. There's nothing you can possibly do to kasher earthenware utensils. And these words over here are earthenware and glazed earthenware dishes, even though it's glazed, even though you thoroughly clean them, even though they're very, very wide. And the air is sholet, it's a lot of air, and you would assume that they should be kosher because you don't sense any bleis. It doesn't matter, there's no kashering for the earthenware utensils. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you very much for coming. Whatever, I hope it was kedai. I think it was very interesting. We did one page at least. It's very interesting over here. The language is very interesting.
Yeah, everybody.
Very poetic.
Goodbye.
Okay, good night. Zai gesund, everybody. Say Zai gesund. Zai gesund. Zai gesund. Take care, Blazer. Thank you very much. We miss you today in the morning, Blazer. Mr. Ms. Glad, how are you?